Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this wonderful night which you have given us. Father, I humble myself unto you. Reveal yourself unto us, my God. And reveal your will unto us, Lord. And transform us for your glory. Touch our hearts, my Father. Make us what you want us to be tonight. Open up our spiritual ears to hear from you. Thank you, God, because of your grace and your Holy Spirit, my Father. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today you have seated very far away. I don't know how you are going to have the microphone. Should I give you this? Should I give you this and use this one? Hallelujah. Yesterday I was so happy with what the Lord was doing in this place yesterday. Yesterday, as I was preparing myself to come here, the Lord spoke with me and he told me that he wants your hearts, but some of you, your hearts are very far away from him. And second thing that we need, you need to break the spirit of pride. That's which is holding your hearts. And when I came and I saw what he was doing, I was happy because he was confirming what he told me, that he needs our hearts. But our hearts is far away. And we need to break spirit of pride. And I was so happy because some of people, they mentioned about pride here. And I believe that maybe even tonight God is going to talk to you to point out that spirit within you, the spirit of pride. The spirit of pride is a dangerous spirit. I know that all the evil spirits are dangerous, but the pride is a very dangerous spirit. Because the Bible says that God resists the pride and he gives the grace to the humble. Now when you have pride, it is very difficult to submit to God and even to allow God to do what he wants within you. Because when you have a spirit of pride, that means also you are boss of your life. You decide for your life. Then God does not have any chance of deciding for your life because you are the Lord, you are the boss of your life. You decide what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Now even when God tries to come and speak to you because you are the boss of your life, you don't allow him to do what he wants to do. Now we need to break that spirit of pride, because once we have that spirit of pride, it opens up other doors to other spirits. But what the Lord told me is that he needs your heart. Some of you are here, you are not going to be here for permanently. Some of you are here and God is working on you, preparing you for another work which he wants to send you to do. Let me repeat that. Some of you are here to be trained. Some of you are here, God, to work on you, to prepare you. And after preparing you, there is somewhere where he wants you to do something. Now, When you take time without opening up your heart, you are consuming your time. Because he will never send you until you are prepared. He will never send you where you are supposed to go until she has done with you. Now, the more you resist him, the more you feel that you cannot give up to him, the more you spend your time. Because he won't force you. He wants you to invite him, to allow him. Now, the more you resist him, you are consuming your time. Until you submit, until you let certain things to live your life, until you stop being the master of your life, and you allow him to be the master of your life. Now, when you allow him to be the master of your life, then he will be able to do what he wants to do within you. Is that clear? Therefore, you need to fight the spirit of pride. Fight it. Yesterday, what I was going to teach, we are still talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. But I have a request, and I have two questions. The request, let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Then I'll give you my request. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?
Can you repeat it again?
I'd love to. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?
God bless you. My request. As I'll be teaching, I request you to do one thing, to examine yourself. Because sometimes it is very difficult to realize that you have pride. But when you take time and think about yourself and think about what's going on, then the Spirit of God will start pointing out what is pride within you. Now, examine yourself. The Bible said that prove yourself. Examining, that means you need to take time and search yourself. It's not something which you just do there and then, but you take time and search yourself. Ask yourself questions. What's going on within me? Therefore, I'm going to question that as I'll be teaching, examine yourself. And even after the teaching and you go back home, I want you to get time. Sit down with your pen, with a paper. Start examining yourself. Depending on what I'm going to teach, let the Spirit of God point out everything within you. And anything which you find out, put it down. Is that clear? Put it down. Because you are examining yourself. There's certain things which are going to be revealed to you. There's certain things which you are going to find out which is within your life. Now put them down. When you put them down, then tomorrow when we come back, we are going to deal with that. Is that clear? We are going to deal with those things which you are going to put down, which are hidden within you. That's why the Bible said that examine yourself. Prove yourself. What is inside you? I don't know what is inside you. You don't know what is inside me. But you know what is inside you. And even if you don't know, there's somebody who can assist you to find out what is inside you. Examine. Examining yourself is not a sin. That's what God wants. In our Christian journey, most of people, they don't have that time of examining themselves. To ask themselves, the way I do things, is that what God wants me to do them? The way I walk in my Christian life, is it the right way which I have to walk? Really, if I'm Christian, really, this is the life of a Christian. This is the way how a Christian should behave. We need to have in our journey that point where we examine and we start asking ourselves questions. What I've realized is that we are so good in pinpointing other people and we don't pinpoint ourselves. We are so easy to see the mistakes of other people, but we are not ready to check our mistakes. So and so, you see so and so, what of you? That's what we do. We're so good in judging other people, but we don't judge ourselves. That's why the Bible said that, please, stop. Before you judge other people, before you pinpoint to other people, what of you? Can't you check yourself also? Maybe you have not realized that some certain things within you, although you are pointing out to other people. Maybe you are judging other people that are so bad people, maybe, and you are badder than them. We need to start examining ourselves. There's no need of watching over somebody's life when you cannot watch over your life. There's no need of taking care of somebody's life when you cannot take care of your life too. There's no need of telling somebody, correct your life, change your life, when you have not checked if also you are changing. We need to come on that point of finding who we are, checking ourselves, examining ourselves. Because God, He will never deliver you until you realize your failures, your mistake, and you admit it. If it wasn't so, God could forgive everybody. But He wants somebody to come on the point to realize that this, I'm a sinner. Therefore, I need to be forgiven. Now, after realizing that you are a sinner, then you take a step of asking to be forgiven. Then God will come in. He will never come in until you realize that this is a mistake. This is my sin. This is where I need to be assisted. Now, as you are pointing to other people, then it's very difficult to realize your mistake. And then God won't come to us to assist you. You can judge everybody. You can have a book where you write all the mistakes of other people. The mistake of your husband, the mistake of your wife, the mistake of your kids, the mistakes of your parents. But have you examined yourself as you are blaming your parents, as you are blaming your husband, as you are blaming your wife? Have you examined yourself to find out what is inside you? To find out what you are. It's very easy to point out the mistakes of other people. And when you point them out and they realize it and they change when you are not changing. You understand that? It's very easy to point out the mistakes of other people. And you blame them. And they realize their mistakes. And they change. When you, the one who's pointing out their mistakes, when you're not changing. Because you have not realized yours. There's a lot of people who are signposts. Do you call them signposts? this bus which directs you will come to Grand Rapids. Signs, okay. In Uganda we call it them signposts. Signs which welcome to Michigan, welcome to Grand Rapids, welcome to this city. But let me tell you, those signs are welcoming people and they're directing them into the city, but they have never gone there. And they cannot tell what is inside there, inside the city. But everybody when he comes in and see it, welcome, yeah, I'm in Grand Rapids. South Grand Rapids, North Grand Rapids, you know. But those saints, they have never stepped into the city. Now there's some people who are there, if you are not careful, careful to examine yourself, you might find yourself that you are saying. You are pointing out to other people the heaven, but when you are not going there. Welcome to heaven. Welcome to heaven. But when you're not going there, welcome to heaven. That is very bad if you can't, if you're not part of people who are going there. Now let's examine ourselves, so that also we prepare ourselves to go to heaven instead of directing other people. Is that clear? Therefore, tonight, examine yourself. When you go back, do everything. After doing it, get time. Go on examining yourself. I believe that God is going to give us the grace to find out what is holding us, so that tomorrow we come and we deal with it. Because God wants your heart. That's my request. The question which I have two questions. Turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Can we read verse 16 and 17?
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20? 1 Corinthians chapter
6. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Mm-hmm. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
God bless you. Now I have a question. All of us, I know that we are living, we have homes. We have houses. Does your house control you? That's my question. Does your house control you? Does your house give you instructions? Does your house tell you when to come in and when to go out? I need to hear answers. Does your house give you instructions? Does your house control you? Huh? You control your house. I thought that maybe here in U.S., the houses, they control you. Sometimes. The house gives you instruction. Today, don't sleep in the bedroom. You are going to sleep in the living room. The house gives you instruction when to come out and when to come in. The house tells you how to arrange it. In Uganda, that's not. The house does not control us. We have full authority over our houses. We are to decide how to arrange the house, where to put our things, when to come out, when to go out. Now, if your house does not control you, and the Bible is saying here that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That means we are houses of the Holy Ghost. There I come with a question. Does the Holy Ghost have rightful authority over his house? Because the Bible says here, that we are the temple. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. That means you and me, we are houses of the Holy Ghost. But does he have full authority over his house? Does he seated in the right position in his house where he is supposed to sit? She has got authority to do or to arrange or to rearrange his house the way he wants. Therefore, that's my question. I want you, when you go back, as you're examining yourself, ask yourself if the Holy Spirit is seated within his right position within you. If he has got the full right authority over his house. If really he has got full authority to kick out of his house certain things. Because even in your houses, there's certain thing which you are rid of it. And say this, I'm kicking it out. I don't need it. No, sir. You have some things and say, I'm fed up with this. Throw it out. Because you don't need it. Does even the Holy Spirit have his full right authority where he comes and say, I don't need this, I don't need this, I don't need this, put it out. Oh, he points out and say, I don't need this, and say, please, I need it. That's mine. I think most of the people, we read verses and we don't sit down to think about it. We don't sit down and ask some questions about it. You hear some preachers saying, oh, you're preaching, yeah, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But just reading them, preaching on it, but they don't have time to sit and ask themselves, yeah, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit have all authority over my life? Now see, he rearranged his house the way he wants. Does he choose what to do within his house? Now, that's a big challenge. And a question which I need all of us, even me too, to find out if he has authority. He is seated in the right place where he is supposed to sit within his house. If he has got the authority over his life 100%. If you can let him kick everything which he does not want within his house. If you can let him and do what he wants within his house. Most of people, we don't want to do that. He tells us this, we give him excuses. He tells you this, and you tell him, please, this is America. Yeah, that's what most of people are saying here. When you tell them about certain things, Pastor Steve, you know, this is America, this is not Africa. But they forget one thing, that although it's America, we have the same Bible. The Bible which we are using in Africa is the Bible which we are using here. They are saying this is America, and they forget that we have one God. The God of America is the God of Africa. The same God who gives Africa instructions is the same God who gives you instructions. They forget that this is America, but we have the same devil. The half devil of Africa is the same devil of America. They are saying that this is America, and they forget that there's hell. We have one hell. We don't have the hell for Americans and the hell for Africa. We have one hell. This is America, and they forget that we have one heaven. We don't have any heaven for America and heaven for Africa. No. We have one God. We have one heaven. There's one hell. We have one God. There's one devil. We have the same Bible. Now, if you think because this is America, you have to handle the way you want, that is a lie from the devil. We have to handle everything according to what the Bible says. Now, if God is telling somebody in Africa to examine yourself, himself, the same time he's telling you too. If the Bible said that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that means even if you are in Africa and the Holy Ghost is your temple, then also here, the Holy Ghost must be your temple. His temple. Your body. He says that your body is the body of the Holy Ghost. The temple of the Holy Ghost. You are not on your own. You are bought by precious blood. We have one blood which forgives all our sins. Either you are from Africa or America, everywhere. We have one blood which washes away all our sins. Now we need to respect our body. The Bible says here that glorify God in your bodies. Glorify God in your bodies. Let God be seen within our lives. Let God be seen within our families. Let God be seen within our children. Glorify God. But you cannot glorify God unless the Holy Spirit has seated within his right position. You cannot glorify God within your body unless the Holy Spirit has full control over your body. Is that clear? Examine yourself. Allow the Spirit of God to take his right position. The Bible says that we are not of our own. That means you belong to somebody. There's somebody who came and paid the price. And he bought you. You belong to him. He shed the blood. You are the one supposed to be hanged. He was hanged on your behalf. You are the one to be supposed to be killed. He was killed on your behalf. Therefore, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the one who was hanged. You belong to the one who paid the price. Now your body does not belong to you. Your body belongs to somebody who paid you. Now that somebody who paid you decided and said, the Holy Ghost must live within your life, within my body. Because your body belongs to him, therefore he has to decide who he's supposed to live in. But when you say that, no, this is my life, I have to decide for myself, you are lying yourself, it's no longer your body, there's somebody who bought you. This is my life, I have to handle it. No, you are lying. That's pride. There's somebody who bought you. There's somebody who died for you. Allow him to flow within your life. Let the Spirit of God dwell within your life. And let him be in charge of everything. Allow him to kick out everything which does not belong to that house. Don't just give him instructions that you are putting it out on condition. Remember, this is America. No way. Remember, you shouldn't scare me. You shouldn't scare me, Holy Spirit. If you're putting out certain things, you have to handle them the way I want. No way.
This is his home. You shouldn't give him the way how he's going to handle things which he does not want within his house. You shouldn't tell him how he should arrange his house. You shouldn't tell him when, how to handle it, when to put it out. No, when he decides that today I'm putting it out, he has to do that because that is his house. Now, I want you to examine. The Bible told us to examine ourselves. Examine yourself. If really the Holy Ghost has a full right, authority over your life. Examine yourself if the Holy Ghost is seated within the right position. Examine yourself and find out if really you have been allowing him to flow within yourself. Sometimes he communicates even with your spirit. He awakes you at night. I need to have time with you. And you tell him that I'm very tired. You don't know that. In the morning, wait for me in the morning. But now, I'm very tired. I have to sleep. I have to enjoy my bed. Okay? But he's the one communicating. He can communicate to your spirit. Can you at least open up a Bible and read a verse? You don't see that I'm busy. I'm very busy. I don't have that time over the Bible. Maybe when I come back home. When you come back home, he reminds you and says, no, I'm tired. Maybe tomorrow. Inside your spirit, he's communicating. But you could not allow him. He can communicate. Please, can you forgive so and so? No. You don't know what he did to me. Imagine. You are telling the Holy Ghost that you don't know what that person did to you. He knows everything. He knows everything. He is God. He knows everything. He was there before you were created. Even he knew, because the Bible said that he knows even our thoughts before we think about it. When they have not entered into us, he knows them. He knows exactly what they did to you. He knows how it happened. And he's the one who tells you that you have to forgive that person. Is that clear? Yeah. Now, when Jesus was about to go back to his Father, in John chapter 16, let's start from verse 5. And we'll go down. Mm-hmm.
John 16, starting with 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you.
Stop there. God bless you. Now when Jesus was about to go back to his Father, after finishing his ministry, he told his disciples that now I have to go away to the one who sent me. But you don't ask me where I'm going, because you know already I've been telling you about my Father. But unless I told them, unless I go, unless I tell you the truth, so that I can go away. If I don't go away, I'll not send the Comforter. But if I go away, I'll send him so that I can dwell with you. In other words, that after Jesus finishing all his ministry, he handed over the church into the hands of the Holy Ghost. He told the disciple, because that was the church which was there, he told them that you benefit if I go. Because when I go, I'll send the Comforter. And he will come to stay with you. And he will convict the world because of sin. Is that clear? In other words, when he comes, he will point out within the lives of people sin which is living within them. He will reveal sin within their life. He will lead them to the place of repenting. He will lead them to the place of changing and forsake their sins, and they walk right with God. Jesus knew that without the Spirit of God, people they will never repent. People they will never realize their sin. People they will never reach to the place of repenting. People they will never reach on the place where they have to turn and walk with God. Then he told them that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will convict sin. Now anything which is hidden within you, somebody who can point it out is the Spirit of God. Somebody who can lead you to the place of repenting is the Spirit of God. Somebody who can cause you to forsake and put aside everything and start walking right with God is the Spirit of God. Now that's why he says that we are his temple. He dwells within us. When he is within us, he will reveal everything which is ungodly within our lives. Then after revealing them, not just to condemn us, not to judge us, but he's pointing them out so that we can decide to repent, to make things right with our God, to walk with our God. Now when you don't allow him to have his full authority over your life, then there's no way how he's going to point out your sin. There's no way how he's going to lead you into repentance. Because he does not have full right of his house. You decide where he has to stay, where he should step, where he should sit. You don't allow him to sit where he wants. You don't allow him to step where he wants. You don't allow him to rearrange his house the way he wants. Then he cannot point out everything within your life. That's why these days, friend, preachers, we don't preach about repenting. We don't really do. There's a certain church. This is in Africa. I went there. I was invited to that church. Then the pastor called me in the office before I went on the pulpit. He told me that, "Pastor, there's certain things which you should not preach about it. One was about sin. Because if I preach about sin, people, they are going to be scared. They are going to leave the church." That's what he told me. That you don't preach about sin. Second thing, don't preach about prayer. Don't do that. The third thing was what? Don't speak about demons. Then I told the pastor, thank you. I grabbed my Bible. I told him that let me go back to our church because they are waiting for me. He said, no. I invited you to come and preach and you are saying that you are going away. Then I told him, you told me what I should not preach. And that's the message which God gave me. Now, why should I spend my time here letting me go back home because they are waiting for me? He said, no, pastor, you have to bear with me because I invited you people. They know that you are coming. They are waiting for you. Now, what you have to do, let me give you time and read your Bible. And he found out another message which can preach. I told the guy, no, I don't have another message. I have the message which the Lord gave me. Therefore, I don't have that time of reading again the Bible, looking for what I'm going to preach. I'm going. I walked out of his office. Then I entered into the car. Came to me, pastor, now what am I going to tell people? I told him, go and tell them that you have told me what I should not preach. That's why I went away. Then he told me, okay, pastor, come in, but at least you'd rather change and look for another message, because I don't want people to be scared and go leave the church. I told him that I don't have any another message. And I'm not forcing you to give me your pulpit. You are the one who invited me. I have a lot of places to preach. Even in our church, I can go and preach. Even if not preaching, I can go and sit down and listen to somebody's preaching to me. Then he allowed me. I preached on repentance and prayer. People, they repented. After 1 month, the pastor called me. That pastor, God bless you. People, they are transformed. People, they are repenting. In the church already, they come for prayers. Can you come back? I told him that I don't think that I'll be able to come back. But let's keep on teaching people about repenting and prayer. Now, we have such churches. That guy was supported with certain people from USA and US and UK. They gave him what he's supposed to preach, what his students preach. Now you find most of the churches, they don't teach about repenting. We talk about miracle, which is good because I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles in our church, in Africa, everywhere. But miracles does not lead you into repentance. Miracle does not lead you to God. The Bible said that the children of Israel knew the miracles of God, but they died in the wilderness. Moses knew the ways of God. It's very easy to know the miracles of God, and you don't commit your life to God. In our church, in Uganda, we have a certain man who came in the service on scratches. Then he walked. After walking throughout all those crutches in the service, 1 month through month, he departed from the church. He's not born again, but he's walking. All people around there, they know him. When we meet, he says, pastor, I love you, bye. He's walking. He was not walking. That was a miracle, which was done by God. But this did not change the man. Even their family, they did not change after seeing their child walking. Then a miracle cannot take you to the place of repenting. Although we need them, they prove that God is real, but they don't drive us to the place of repenting. Because miracles, God can do even miracles to those who are not born again. But the very important thing is to know the ways of God, is to come right with God. Now that's what we are preaching about, miracles. One miracle is going to change you. I don't think the miracle will change you. The word of God changes people. One miracle will change you. I don't believe that miracle will change people. The Spirit of God changes people. God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you, yeah. But this is what I know. The Bible said that seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then other things will follow you. Now, when you tell me to be blessed all the time, and don't tell me about the kingdom and the righteousness of God, then you are barring me. We don't preach about that. The devil snatched that from the church. She has snatched repenting from the church. She has snatched whole righteousness from the church. She has snatched the Spirit of God from the church. They don't talk about the Spirit of God. They don't talk about repenting. When you talk about sin, you scare people. They don't want people to be scared. They want people to live into their sin as long as they are not scared. Let me scare you so that you become right with God, than leaving you when you are scared and you are not right with God. Let me scare you as I'm pulling you out of that scare. As I'm drawing you near towards your God, done, leaving you, and keep quiet because I don't want to scare you. Let me scare you. But as long as you come right with God. Now, that's why, because even we don't talk about the Spirit of God, that's why there's no change of life in the lives of people. Because there's somebody who can change our life. We have not given him authority over our life. We don't talk about him. We don't teach about him. People, they don't know him. They don't know him that he's their comforter. He's there to comfort them. They don't know him. They don't know him that he's there to point out all mistakes and sins within us so that he can put right things. They don't know him. Who's the Holy Spirit? Is something which come and shake you? No, it's not something. He is a person. He is God. He is your comforter. He is your teacher. He is there for you. The fact is that the Spirit of God is not on earth because he's supposed to be on earth. The earth is not the best place for him to stay. The heaven is the best place for him to stay because this earth is full of sinners. But why he is living on this earth? Because of you and me. There are certain things which he wants to put right within your life, so that it can work well with your God. Now, tonight when we are going to examine ourselves, notice that the Holy Ghost is your comforter. He is there to prove or to reveal each and every hidden sin within your life. Now, when you are examining yourself, tell him to assist you. Tell him that, God, I have done everything, but Holy Ghost, can you assist me to find out what is inside me? And tell him to assist you, to lead you in the press, to the place of repenting. So that you can admit that this is my mistake. This is a sin. But give me the grace. Lead me to that place. Yeah, I have pride. But lead me to that place of submitting. Lead me to that place because he's there for that. He will convict us. He'll convict sin, the world because of sin. Jesus went on telling them that he will guide you in all truth. He is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you in all truth. The Bible said that when you know the truth shall set you free. Now, why must so people, they are in bondage? Although they come in the church, they are in the church, but they are bound. Why? Because they have rejected the Spirit of truth. Who can lead them into all truth so that they may be free? They have rejected the Spirit of truth. Who can lead them into all truth so that they can be set free? Because when you know the truth will set you free. When you don't know the truth, you are bound. Now, the Spirit of truth is there to lead you in all truth. So that may you know truth, so that the truth may set you free. Now, when we reject him and we don't give him the full authority within our life to stake his position within our life, then he cannot lead us to all the truth. That's why you find people are deceived. That's why people are deceived. Because there's certain truth which they don't know. They have surrendered, they have committed their life to the lies of the world. They have entered into compromising. They have rejected the spirit who can lead them to the truth, so they can be free. Now, when you are examining yourself, tell the spirit of truth to lead you into all truth which can set you free. He is your God. He is your best friend. Let me repeat that. He is your best friend. He is not there to hurt you. He is there to direct you. The Bible said that the Spirit of God leads us. He is our leader. He is there to lead you in all truth. He is there to lead you in the ways of God. He is there to lead you in the Word of God. He is there to lead you in everything which God has for you. Now, he is your best friend. Allow him to flow within your life. Allow him to kick out each and everything which is ungodly. Allow him to lead you to the right place where you're supposed to be. Allow him to lead you to the place of repenting. Put aside what you think you are. Put aside what you call yourself. Is that clear? Put that aside. Let him take over. Let him work on your life. You cannot work on your life. He can work on your life. You cannot put things right with God. You cannot. Except him. He will lead you in the ways where you can put things right with God. You cannot walk with God. He can lead you to walk with God. Now, we need to allow him. Now, tonight when you are examining yourself, speak to him because he's near you. Speak to him because he's dwelling within you. Tell him that, Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your assistance here. I need to work to become right with my God. I need God to take over. But I don't know how to handle it. Can you come and work on me? Let me tell you, when you call him, he's going to point out each and everything which is inside you. He's going to point out even pride. He's going to tell you what you should stop and how you can stop it. He's going to tell you how, what you have to put aside, what you don't need, what you need. Not everything that which we see that we need them. Not everybody who is surrounding us that we need him. There's some people whom we don't need. But you think that they are so good to you. But the Spirit of God knows exactly the people whom you need in your life. Not everybody. Not everyone who comes in your house. Not everyone who hangs with you that is your friend. No. There's some people whom you don't need in life. But you cannot prove. You cannot find them. Except the Spirit of God will guide you. He will guide you. He will communicate to you. Young people, you have a lot of friends, but not all friends that are good. Instead of having 100 of friends, you better have 1 or 2 who are very useful to you than having everyone hanging around everyone. Some of them are there to hurt you, to tear you down, to disorganize you, to destroy you. The devil is using them to hit you. Now you rather have 2 or 3 or 1 where they are there for you to assist you to become what you are supposed to become, who are mindful about God, who are mindful about the Word of God, who wants to walk in the ways of God, who are committed to God, who are committed to God's word. Those are right people. But those who are leading you all the time to watch funny other games, not God, they are going to kill you. Even parents. Yeah, we love our children. But also take time to find out who are friends of your kid. Some parents, you know, mainly here in the United States, you don't mind, you just, the kid's man, he comes at home, he's my friend, but you don't know where he's coming from. You don't know their families. They're your friend. Here is my friend. Here is my friend. What's your name? He tells you the name. He eats food and go. The following day, where are you going? I'm going to hang out with my friend. Where? You don't know where they are going. You don't know who's that friend. You know. You don't even the parents of those kids. I have my kids. You have my kid, but those friends whom you don't know where they are coming from, whom you don't know even their friends, their parents, they are going to kill your kid. They are going to kill your kid. Find out who are their friends. Find out the family. Don't just allow him or her because you love him to hang out with everybody. No. And that's what is going on within the families of the people. Some people. Then after they have hurted your kid, then you say, oh, you see my kid is dying. Yeah, he's dying because also you didn't mind. You didn't mind. And I believe that your forefather used to do that. Also, you have to do that. Some people, they think, now we are, you know, this is another generation. We have everything. No, no, no. We have to give our children rebirth. But we have also to use wisdom. Yep. We need to know who are their friends. Yep. How are they behaving? Who are their parents? Where are they staying? Because it is very easy to find out where they are staying. Because there's certain areas, now when you come in Africa, we know certain areas where lives drug dealers, prostitutes, we know those areas. Huh? Witches. Now when you come, and I found out that that's where you are living, then I'll know exactly your parents, how they behave, and how you behave. Then I won't allow you to hang up with my kid. But you don't mind even asking. You know, I don't want her to hurt my son if I ask her about this, if I ask him about this and this and this, I'm going to hurt him, okay? If you don't want to hurt him, wait. Other people, they're going to hurt him. If you don't want her to cry, time is coming also you are going to cry. Let's go and we examine ourselves. Examine yourself, even the way how you are handling your family. Even the way how you are taking care of your kids. Are you leading them to the ways of God or not? Examine yourself. Tell the Spirit of God to assist you tonight. Let Him deal with everything within you. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When we put aside the Spirit of the living God, no Christianity. Because without Him, you cannot be a true Christian. Without Him, you cannot become a true Christian. No way. No way. Now when we forsake him, when we kick him out of the church, then we are killing people. Because these people, they will never, never become a true Christian. They will never become a true Christian. They will never walk right with God when they don't have the Spirit of God. Now we need to welcome him back in the house. We need to welcome him back in the ministry. We need to welcome him back in our church, in our lives. We need to welcome him back in the family, in the lives of our children, so that we can have Christian children, Christian families. We have names, but not real Christians. We have names of Christian families, but not real family, Christian families. Because the one who can transform us and make us that, we kicked him out. Now, it's so important. Let's welcome him back. As I'm winding up, go back, all of you, even me too. Examine yourself tonight. Tell the Spirit of God, I need your assistance. You are there for me. You are there to search me. You are there to point out each and every mistake within me. You are there to lead me to the place of repenting. Here I am. I'm your temple. I'm your house. Come and put right your house. Have your right place within my life. Don't allow anything to take the place of the Spirit of God within you. Don't allow movie to take a place of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow video game to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow. Don't allow your friends to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow money to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow pride, judging, and everything to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow unforgiveness to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit take his right position. Let him be in charge. Tell him that you are in charge. Do everything which you wish within me. Put everything which don't want it within my house, my life. Put it out. I'm ready. Although some things you have to, although you feel that you love them, you like them, you don't want to read out of it, but once the Holy Spirit points this out, please let it go. Although it will go in pain, you don't want to lose it, but lose it. Let it go. You rather lose it than losing the Spirit of God. Anything. Even if they're your friend whom you feel that you love them. But as long as the Holy Spirit is pointing out the way how they are, you better lose them. Because He wants you, he loves you, he's there for you, he wishes best for you, the best thing for you. Now, examine yourself. Then tomorrow when you come back, make sure that at least you held up your paper, list down everything. Now, tomorrow when we come back, we are going to break or to declare a battle against those things. Battle to fight them. You get me? Everything which God is going to put, what you are going to put down. Because when you remember the other time when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 10, the Bible said that we God has revealed all things unto us by his Spirit. He went on saying that we did not receive the Spirit of the world, but of God. That means there's a Spirit of the world. Now, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you might have the Spirit of the world. Now, tonight, we are going to start finding out, do we have the Spirit of the world, or we have the Spirit of God? If you find out you hang out with the Spirit of the world, then put everything down. You want to read it? Okay.
To 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Please, open your Bible. Same Bible in America we have in Africa. Interpret. All right. I can't wait. Are you listening? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And we're going to read through verse 12. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. I'm going to read that again. Even so the things of God knoweth no man. In other words, no man knows that, but as the Holy Spirit reveals it unto him. Look at verse 12. Every person that you know has one of these spirits. Verse 12. Listen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, because the truth will set us free. You either have the spirit of the world or you have the spirit of God. And they are not friends. I could. But I'm going to probably do it on Sunday instead. I want to look up some verses and just dwell there a while.
Hallelujah. The Bible said that we do not receive the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. If you don't have the spirit of God, you have the spirit of the world. Then when you have the spirit of the world, it is very difficult for you to know the things of God. When you have the spirit of the world, it is very difficult for you to submit to the things of God. When you have the spirit of the world, it is very difficult to put right things with your God. The spirit of the world, it cannot lead you into repentance. It makes you rebellious, stubborn, disobedient to your parents, to each and everybody. That's the spirit of the world.
Unteachable.
It does not allow you to change. You cannot change. You become rigid. This is how I want to do my things. This is what how I want to handle my life. Don't try to scare me. Don't try to do this and this and this. That is the spirit of the world. Then the spirit of the world lead you into his own things, ungodly. But the spirit of God leads you into the things of God. You cannot put them together. You cannot bring the spirit of the world in one sack with the spirit of the God. No way. Because they have a different characters, different behaviors. They cannot come together. Now, at the same time, you cannot say that I have part of my life belongs to the Holy Spirit, then a part of my life belongs to the spirit of the world. No way. When you are not on the side of God, you are on the side of the devil. When you are not on the side of the Spirit of God, you are on the side of the spirit of the world.
Right.
Now, the Spirit of God cannot pull you out of the spirit of the world except you have realized it and you are fed up of it, then the Holy Spirit will come in. That's why we need to go and examine ourselves. Which type of a spirit are we operating in? Which type of a spirit is leading us? Now, if we find ourselves that we are led by the spirit of the world, we need to fight that spirit. We have to deny it, to break it, so that we break all the covenant with it. And we come back and welcome the spirit of the living God, so that he can reveal the things of God unto us. That is the homework. Examine yourself.
I am going to put this down. Because if I don't put this down, you think we were here long last night. 100 years from now, Steve and I are in heaven. Are you? 100 years from now, if you are and you're in this room, you're going to be thanking us for the things that we're saying. And if you're in hell, you're going to wish you would have listened. And what you think you know in your life, ask yourself the question. Just ask yourself this question that he said earlier. Look at your life. Look at your life and ask yourself, when I read the Bible or when I hear them teach, does my life reflect what the Bible teaches a Christian should be? What area of my life reflects what a Christian should be? Would an unsaved person find Christ in us? Do you understand? How are we going to bring them? This isn't the glee club. We told you this. This is not religion. This is not like Nate and I talking about having him telling me about going. He's played in churches where there's 10,000 people, 15,000 people. But there's no change. He tells me they got videos and people full time on staff in the church, and it's all business. Now, I'm glad that DBJ's back there and taking care of all this stuff. But I told Nate, I said, there's got to be a way that when you got 10 or 15,000 people to do it without getting the Holy Spirit out, because I'll kick all the people out before I kick the Holy Spirit out. That's it. I tell all 15,000, we're going back to home churches. That's it. We ain't playing this game. This isn't about entertainment. Where's Jesus in our life? Where is Jesus in our life? How do you know if you're called to preach? If you can do anything but preach, you ain't called. And if you hear preaching like that, and it makes you want to preach, it's because there's preaching inside of you, and he just primes your pump. I'm about to bust. I'm going to go tackle some people out in the street. Tell them about Jesus. Now, I want to go one step beyond what Steve said, because it's what we have taught you here. I know he believes it, but I'm going to say it to you. The Bible says, examine yourself. But then the Bible talks about, there's a phrase we use around here all the time. We tell everybody they need them in their life. It's two words. What's it called? A-P. I'm sorry, can't hear you? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Do you want to know if you're telling yourself the truth? Matthew 18, 15 to 17. You ask, when you go and you examine yourself, you go and examine yourself and you bring the homework, hand it to the person next to you or the person that knows you and say, is this truth? I went to a church. I was not preaching. I had led somebody to the Lord in another state. And they, when we went to that state to visit them, they said, would you come to our church? I went in that church. The preacher's up there preaching. And it kept sounding like lies. And I kept interrupting him. Excuse me? I said, did you say? And then he would say his words. And I'm like, I'm starting to boil. And I just kept raising my hand, and I raised it so many times that they finally said, would you wait until the end so we could get done? I can't stand somebody speaking lies and me just like let it go, because I care about those people and I didn't even know them. But there was about 150, 200 people in there, and he's lying like a rug. I don't want... So I go up to him afterwards with my son John, who's about 13, 14 years old. And I walked up to this preacher and I said, see, this preacher believed that once you get saved, you never sin again. So I went up to him and I said, I made a beeline to him. I felt sorry for the people. I felt sorry for the people that were between me and him. Because you better get out of the way. Because I got to go talk to this liar who was standing up front of everybody. And I went up to him and I said, let me ask you a question. Did you say you don't believe you sin? Nope. I said, well, have you ever looked at this verse? And I read it to him. Nope. I've never sinned. I don't sin. I'm saved. I've never sinned. I kept giving him verses. John is standing behind me, pulling on my... He's 13 years old. I turned around and said, what? He said, he must not have ever read this verse. Ask him this verse. My son's telling me the verses to tell this liar. I tell him those verses. I never sin. That's when God taught me John 15:20. Jesus said, if they won't hear my word, if they won't hear my word, he said, they're not going to hear you. So after talking to him for about 30 minutes, and him, nope, I never said. I said, Holy Spirit, what do I say to him? He said, ask him this question. I said, are you married? He said, yes. Do you have children? Yes. Are they here? Watch this. Are they here? He said, yes. I said, can we ask them if you never sin? He immediately went beet red, turned around, stomped his feet, and walked off. You say you never sin? Can I ask your wife if you never sin? Can I ask your children if you never sin? You need to go and examine yourself. I've given some of you homework and said, when did you meet Jesus? Write it down. I haven't got it. You could know about Him. You could be a member of the club. But do you have God inside? Examine yourself. Dear Holy Spirit, please come and examine me. And then if you really want to know the truth, take your paper and hand it to your neighbor and ask him, is this true? Do you know that Steve cares about you? I can't hear you. Do we care about you? I'm not trying to beat you up. If I get a little rough, it's because sometimes we got to get a little ruffled so we'll start thinking. Because we just go along in our complacency. Sometimes we need to get a little ruffled. But it's only because we love you.